Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically.
Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we're very excited today. We have a guest in studio. But before we get to that, I want to tempt you that you will need to listen all the way to the end of this episode today because we've got a special treat for you.
Yes. So yeah. Listen till the end.
Listen to the end. All right. So today we have a guest, as I said, Austin Sickmeyer. He is owner of Complete Inspections. And today we're talking all about home inspections. And even if you are not ready to buy or sell today, I think it's really good information for you to have as you prepare to go down that road when you're ready. And Austin's going to give us all kinds of interesting information that you need to know. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got into home inspecting.
All right. Well, I'm Springfield native. Been here all my life. Went to Missouri State, Kickapoo, all that stuff. And got into home inspecting because of TikTok. I had been looking to replace my current job at the time for several years at that point, and was scrolling through TikTok one day, ended up in home inspector TikTok, and thought, man, you know, I could do this. I know a lot of these things that you guys are talking about, but you know, obviously there's still a lot I had to learn. So I started researching it, realized, hey, yeah, I could do all this, and I slated it out and spent about a year just preparing myself, getting all the education I needed, getting all the certifications I needed, setting up the business, and then kick my doors open September 1 of 2021.
Okay.
And are you stronger since.
Are you a homeowner that has had a previous inspection on a house?
Yes.
So you kind of knew the process. Yep. You knew a little bit about what you were getting your eyes on when you started seeing that on TikTok.
And you know, just seeing what those guys were doing, where they were going in the house, I thought, man, that would be fun. Like, I enjoy doing that stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing everything that I can at my house.
Yeah.
So it was a good fit.
And okay.
It checked all the boxes. You know, I wanted to be self-employed. Mm-hmm. I want a flexible schedule. I wanted a physical aspect of my job. I was tired of sitting behind a computer screen all day long.
Got it.
And I just love being in a different spot every day, not going to the exact same spot, being in the same building every
having
day.
Having the flexibility.
You get to see lots of different houses.
Yeah. That's a big thing for me. So, and could do it myself, and it didn't require a huge investment to get into. It was really a perfect fit, and I've enjoyed these past 4 years just so
great.
Much.
Good.
So tell our listeners about what is required for someone like you to become a home inspector in Missouri.
In Missouri, probably need a vehicle, and maybe that's about it. You really don't need anything.
Okay.
You can get a business card and suddenly, boom, you're a home inspector. Now, to do it right, you need to have certification. You can education. I got mine from two places, ASHI, American Association of Home Inspectors, more popular years ago, but then also InterNACHI. Those are the two big guys. So I got certifications from both of them. And it was a great way to get the education. ASHI does a in-person class, and this was during COVID, so not many people were doing in-person. So I went with ASHI up to Chicago, and up there for about a couple weeks with them. So to get in Missouri, you know, there's no SOPs that Missouri has set out. Mm-hmm. You follow the SOPs of whatever trade association you're with. Me personally, InterNACHI is the SOP that I follow. The only thing that you do need to have license for as a home inspector, if you're going to do septic and well assessments, you got to have a license for those. Mm-hmm. And you also have to have a license to do your termite inspections. I also have a license for my drone because I'm flying the drone commercially. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just for pleasure. Right. So I do have to have the Part 107. Also, for radon testing, you don't have to have it in Missouri, but it helps. The NRPP certification, National Radon Proficiency Program. There's only about 70 of us in the state of Missouri, last I checked. So it's not very popular, but it does give you a pretty strong leg up. Not only do you, when a client asks you about radon, you know what you're talking about.
Right,
you know where it comes from. You know how it affects people, how it affects home. But it also just, you know, it has opened some doors to some clients that I've would not have been able to do the radon testing because they required that certification.
Got it. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So tell our listeners what an inspection looks like. Okay. Just regular home inspection. Right.
So for me, what a home inspection looks like, first off, it's going to take anywhere from 3 to 4 hours for a typical home, which I think is a little bit slow compared to some people, but that's okay. We go from top to bottom. You know, I have different steps that I take depending on what time of year it is. Like if it's summertime, we knock the roof out first and we knock out the attic first because those are the hot places, so you get those done quickly. But yeah, it's systematic. You go from one area to the next and you got to do it in a certain order. Like you don't want to start with the crawl space because you haven't ran any water inside the house yet, right? Before you go in the crawl space, and you do the exterior because that includes turning on those water bibs down there around the house so you know if they're leaking or not. So there is an order, and there's certain things that you need to do to the house before you get into other areas, like for the attic, better turn on all those bathroom fans before you go up in there because you want to find out where they're discharging at.
Sure.
And good luck finding them under insulation if they're not running. That's going to be a difficult thing to do. So I'm there for about 3 to 4 hours, and I'm writing as I go so that before I leave there, a majority of my report is done. Then we meet with the clients afterwards and we kind of present to them, here's what we all found today, which I think is probably the most important part of the process. It's not great to send them the report at the end and there's all these scary things on there. They don't know it. You know, it depends on how many houses they bought. If they're a brand new home, you know, first time home buyer, then that's going to be really scary. It's better that they need to hear it from me. They need to hear the tone of my voice. They need to see my face. And that way they kind of know what's serious and what can wait. But yeah, so we do all those things. Infrared's a big thing for me in my home inspection processes. You can see it's really easy to find water leaks under sinks with infrared. It's really good to find cavities in your insulation on the ceilings or even wet spots on ceilings. This was a couple years ago. It was in Republic. We had just had a bunch of rain the day before. I walked through the house and my last step, I was scanning the ceiling. Ceiling was all these wet spots everywhere. I never saw it with my naked eye. There's no stains at all, but wet spot. I mean, they were everywhere. So I won't inspect without infrared. I think it's that important.
Okay.
Another thing that it helps with finding where the ducts discharge into cabinets, like under sinks and those sorts of things, and how many times there's not a hole cut in to let that air escape. It's just kind of going through the cracks. And for me, I think that's really inefficient for getting the conditioned air out. So it's just good to have those infrared so you can see those things back behind something that normally would catch your eye.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
On that process, I know, Tanya, I don't know if we've ever talked about what your thought was, but I remember pre-COVID, we were very, we wanted our clients to be there through the whole inspection. And I was there through the whole inspection. And my thought was, I want to be there because I'm the one who's going to have to write this up after I get the report. And so I just want to make the point to our listeners, if you bought a house 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the process could be different now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys do that? Did you go on inspections?
Because of liability, I don't like to be there the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't encourage my clients to be there because then they're probably, many times they're tagging along behind you, slows you down. You can't do your job. So I always tell them to show up at the end. I've always done that.
I do now, but I didn't before. And
got it.
And I get the liability part, but I wanted them to see everything. But I like the process as it is now. I think it's more efficient because I know that inspectors could have missed something during that process if they're turning around because somebody's asking them a question.
Yeah.
So if you can be there by yourself and really be focused on what you're doing and then we show up at the end, then I think it's a much better process.
I couldn't agree more with that. I really couldn't. I can speak for myself only, but I'll get distracted. You know, if we have a conversation and I have a hard time knowing what I need to go back to, where I was at in my process. And it's a process. It's step by step. So that's a distraction for me and a liability because if I miss something, it's on me.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes I do have to advocate for my best working conditions. You know, it's like, no, just show up for the end.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not that I don't want to converse with them and tell them what's going on. I'm concerned about doing a good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always tell, I'll take all the time to answer any question. If you want to get back in the crawl space, let's go. You know, that's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
But I just need that time to learn that. So how can I tell you about the ask if I haven't had a chance to learn it
yet? Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the best way of doing things. And I kind of feel bad. I look back at when I got my first home inspection, however many years ago, and I was tagging along with him the whole time. And I was like, man, I bet I was making him uncomfortable. And I bet he was like, oh, just rolling his eyes the whole time
at my
questions. Because, you know, I was in my early 20s and never, you know, I was probably asking some silly questions that, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also that's why we ask the seller not to be there as well.
That's
we don't want, you know, the seller sometimes thinks that they need to be there to make sure that you know where things are and all of that. And I get it, but we tell our sellers that they should not be present.
Yeah, sellers should vacate during that time, or at the very least, you know, some people work from home and it works out quite well if they're just hanging out in their office the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if I get that,
don't bother you.
Hey, let me do your office real quick. We'll do it right now. And then the rest of the day, I am not going to bug you at all.
Yeah.
So, and then also pets.
Yeah.
Last year I was bit twice by dogs, but both times it was because the owner was present and they were protecting the owner.
Oh.
Seems like whenever the owner's not present, they're a lot friendlier, you know, because they don't have that protection going on, you know, so those kind of
interesting
things are all considerations.
Yeah.
So tell us the difference between a pre-inspection and how many of those are you seeing in our area?
Not a lot. Maybe 10 to 20% of my home inspections are pre-listing inspections.
Yeah.
I understand the strategy that some people are going with. I don't always agree with it, but I'm happy to do whatever people want on the pre-inspections.
Mm-hmm.
The way I handle pre-inspections, one thing I tell them, I'm going to be very, very picky on your house today. Because somebody's going to be coming in right behind me, and I want to show you everything that could possibly pop up on their home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get two home inspectors going into the exact same house, you're going to get two different reports.
Yes.
That's how it is.
Indeed.
So I'm just really, really picky, and, you know, when I first started out, I was pretty nervous because, you know, I didn't have a ton of experience.
Sure.
And I knew there's going to be somebody coming in behind me that probably had a lot more experience.
Right.
So I just didn't want to be found out to be like, oh, you're missing all these things.
Right.
So, you know, again, I was just very picky, and I just reiterate that to them. Sometimes people don't like to get the news that some of the reports provide on their own home. So there is a little bit of that that you have to deal with too. But for the most part, they're other than the same, you know.
And you're doing the exact same inspection for a pre-inspection that you would.
Yeah. Yeah, exact same process, exact same reports.
Okay.
So there's nothing different.
Yeah.
What if somebody just says, can you check the high points for me? The roof, the HVAC?
Mm-hmm.
Do that as well?
4 point, not 4 point, but a partial home inspection, major systems. You know, they want me to walk the roof, want me to get in the crawl space, get in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially go all the places that your typical homeowner doesn't want to go.
Right.
And that's the biggest benefit home inspectors provide. You know, anybody can walk through your house when you're buying it and say, oh, look, the carpet's messed up here. Oh, there's a hole in the wall.
Right.
Anybody can do that.
Right. Yeah.
What you're really paying home inspectors to do is go into those uncomfortable spots.
Correct.
And, you know, so, but we do it. You know, we get in all those tight spots, and that's the benefit that we have.
Yeah. Obviously, we're in an area where we have a lot of wells and septics. And what do those inspections look like?
Okay, so the first thing I ask when we book those, we need to know what kind of access we have to the tank. You know, do we know where it's at? Is there something that will lead us down into it? If there is, how many of them are there? Is there just one, or is there three? You know, if there's three, that's a really good indication that we have all the access that we need. If there's one, we might have all the access we need, but we won't know that until we get into the tank. Because there's tanks that have baffles. The older ones have baffles. So think concrete walls inside of a tank that are, it sections off into three compartments. And state regulations say you have to look and inspect each compartment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got three compartments, one access point, it's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to excavate. So to do the septic inspection, you know, I stick a camera down in there. I got a little GoPro type of thing and with a really bright light on it, and you can see all the walls and see what all the condition is of the concrete in there. I have another thing called a sludge judge. It's a big, long, clear tube that you lower down into the tank. And I pull a string and it caps the bottom of the tube. And then you pull it out and you can see the different layers, the solid, the top layer, the middle layer, and the bottom layer. It's kind of gross, but it's a really good, it makes for a great picture for the report. But that's what you have to know if it needs to be cleaned out, if it's got a bunch of debris in there, you know, big things, you know, flushable wipes nowadays, you know, they are flushable, but they don't go anywhere.
No.
So all that needs to get cleaned out. Then, so we run, depending on the size of the house, so let's say it's a 3-bedroom house. You got to run 250 gallons of water at it, just straight out to test it, its ability to absorb that water in the field. You run that, and then you walk the field. Make sure the first, make sure the water level in the tank didn't rise during that time. Back up into the house, and then you go out to the treatment field. Make sure you don't find any soft spots or stuff leaking out of the ground. I did one a couple weeks ago. It was up in Rogersville, running water, and you can just see it squirting out of the ground. Mm. So obviously, that's a difficult repair because you can't just go in there and dig it out and then put it back. You know, you need to put stuff in undisturbed ground. So more than likely, it's putting in a whole new treatment field in a different spot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that one, I think that one didn't go through because of that. But
yeah,
so we do that, find out the layout. You know, one good thing that I do is I put my drone up in the air, look straight down, and usually you can clearly see, you know, where the lines are at in the ground. And also that makes a really good picture for the report so that the homeowners can know. I mean, it's one thing to stand in the field and point it out, but if you can see a clear picture of kind of a diagram, essentially, of the property, that's really going to be a good thing to have. We check all the setbacks. So you want to know if your tank's far enough away from your house, far enough away from property lines, far enough away from your well. I've done some, and the well is supposed to be 50 feet away, and it was like 20. Mm-hmm. And surprise, surprise, it had a bunch of bacteria in the well. Because it was just too close to everything. So we do that. After all that's done, OBOs do water sample for the report. We test for chloroform and E. coli. And then the report comes out, and that's forms, you know, so we're regulated, so we have to fill out specific forms, answer specific questions in a certain way. And that's where not having the access to the tanks, to all the compartments of the tanks, can prevent me from doing that, which I've been running into a lot of that recently, which is not great for anybody. You know, it's hard for the realtor because we have to ask for an extension at that point.
Yes. Yeah.
We have to excavate, and I can't just excavate. I have to have the utilities marked.
Yeah.
And I do my own excavation. I have a machine.
Okay.
I've got a little machine. It's great. But, you know, but I'm also busy, and I'm usually about a week out. So we can come out there and say, oh, I can do it for you next week.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how much it delays everything.
Yeah.
So having access is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
If you want to confuse a realtor, right, Tanya?
Yes.
I mean, it is, a lot of people don't, they've never sold rural property before, or they don't understand. And, you know, I've had inspectors send over these diagrams as to what needs to be done, and still you draw them a picture and they still don't know. It's just a point of confusion.
It is, and it's not, you know, we sell more city water, city septic by far than we do septic tanks and wells. And if you don't have a lot of experience under your belt yet, you're not going to know who's supposed to excavate it unless you've read your contract and read your forms and added the right form to ask the seller to excavate it. So that's a part on our end, the realtor's end, that we've got to know that ahead of time and explain that. And then I don't know how many poor sellers we encounter that they have no idea where their septic even is. And it's, as you're explaining the process, that's what was coming to my mind, is that we oftentimes go on listing appointments and they are completely clueless as to where it's located, where their field is, that it's expressing, what, you know, anything about it.
Yeah.
So that's not uncommon.
No.
But then we all have to group effort, you know, figure that out. And as a listing agent, we have to prepare our seller for what, you know, what the different steps are here that are going to take place. And then as a buyer, if they've never owned a septic tank, sometimes they are completely clueless. So having you come in and do a diagram and explain the functionality, and please don't put your wipes down here, they don't disintegrate, and you know, just different things. There's a lot more to septic tanks than what meets the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. A big part of your job as a realtor is education. Same thing with home inspectors.
Yes.
And the percentage of clients that I have to educate on septic tanks, septic systems, it's much higher than just typical home stuff. And same thing with realtors. And I enjoy doing that. I really do. It's a lot of fun. I'll take an opportunity to talk, you know, and tell everybody things I know. But it is just one of those things that not everybody knows the exact way, the right way to do it. Even if you've lived with the septic tank for 20 years, And some people think that, well, it's not backing up in my house, so it's working great, right?
Yeah,
leave it alone. No. And yeah. I've had homeowners say, well, I've lived here for 20 years, never had to pump it once.
Yeah.
That's not a brag. That is not a brag.
It's not. No. We're all like,
yeah. So thank you for the red flag and let me know that there's going to be a problem today. I appreciate that. Yeah. Heads up. So, you know, septic systems, get them inspected. That's just, that's the education. Always.
Yes.
You don't want to deal with that. Mm-mm. If being bad, I mean, it's not cheap and it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very, very important.
Yes.
And it can really kind of make or break a lot of stuff.
Well, because they're not cheap to put in.
No.
They're not cheap to even repair.
No. And finding somebody to repair one's hard, too.
You're right. You know,
a lot of guys just want to install. Not very many want to service.
You're right.
You know, so.
This reminds me, just side note with a small story, a client's home that I sold in Ozark a few years back, they had lived there. They built the house. They had lived there for maybe at that time 15 to 18 years. Mm-hmm. And they had never had one problem with their septic tank. Well, on inspection, the septic tank was completely dry, in perfect condition, as if it were brand new. It was never hooked up right.
Oh, no.
So it was never filling up.
Never.
It wasn't going to the tank at all.
And guess where it was located?
Where?
Under the driveway. So guess what they had to do? Put in a whole new system, whole new $25,000 system in a different area because now...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't use the old around.
And they didn't want to dig up the driveway, so they're just stuck.
Yeah.
So I've never had that happen before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, I call them and I'm like, this is interesting. Have you ever seen poop anywhere? And they said, no, we have never had a problem with poop. So for 15 years, that poop was going directly into the earth, which is gross and hazardous.
Yeah.
But when you don't know, you don't,
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
I had something very similar happen. This was last month. I went to a property to do the inspection. It's a rough property. You know, they knew what they were buying, but they wanted the septic system replaced or inspected. I started running water from the house. I found the tank. No water is hitting that tank. None. I've been running water for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's filled up that sewer line or the main septic line coming to the tank. It should be hitting here.
Yeah.
Nothing's coming in. And I know it's the tank because I, you know, I've already did the sludge judge. And I know it's in that tank already. So that's it. But yeah, nothing was hitting. So I scoped it. Couldn't get, it was older piping and, you know, going around 90s. I couldn't get very far into the line to find out where it's ending at.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just had to call them, hey, man, we're not getting to the tank. So either this isn't the tank or your line's crushed and nothing's going to the tank.
Yeah.
One of the two, and really neither option's good.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's not something you want to deal with.
No. Start digging up the ground. So,
on that note,
you're all going to want a new septic tank,
exploratory
aren't you?
Digging is not a good deal.
Yeah. Well, that just shows that one portion of that inspection, that home inspection that you're doing for clients, is imperative to home ownership.
Absolutely.
And even on new construction, so I want your opinion on that. I always tell my clients, you're buying a brand new house. Nobody's ever lived in it. Therefore, no one has ever worked out the kinks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No one knows if there's any leaks. And let's face it, the best of plumbers miss gluing something. And nobody's ever
hooking
used it
up
to know.
To begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how many, or and what is your opinion on new construction inspections versus existing homes?
For septic systems.
Well, no, for just the home inspection.
Oh, just the home inspection. Okay.
Yes.
New does not mean good.
Right.
Homes are complicated projects.
Mm-hmm.
We are all human. Mistakes happen.
Yes.
I am there for quality control. Just because I find stuff doesn't mean they're bad builders. It just means they're human and they have a big project with lots of stuff going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it just needs to be double checked. That's all we're doing. We're double checking stuff. You know, I go to new inspections and it's a pretty clean list, maybe one or two things. Go to some other new inspections and or new the build inspections and the crawl space is flooded. I mean, stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, those crawl spaces, you know, how long has that grading outside the foundation been sitting, getting rained on with bad grading and it's just dumping all the water into the crawl space. So home inspect, new builds are going to be a little bit easier of an inspection.
Sure.
Because, you know, everything's going to be accessible. You're going to be able to get into the attic easy. You're going to be able to get in that crawl space easy. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy inspection and in what you're going to find. You know, you still have to test everything. You still have to work all the kinks out of it. Now, to go back to the septic stuff, though, you're not allowed to inspect brand new systems.
Oh.
They have to be in use for at least 6 months before you're allowed to inspect a permitted system. If it's something that was installed, like, say, 10 acres where they didn't require a permit, okay, yeah, you can do that one because there hasn't been a state inspector out there looking at it before it got covered up.
Gotcha.
So that's the dividing line there.
But that is an interesting statement because I deal with new construction, and and he is building on acreages, which he's done for the last 3-4 years. And I've had inspectors do septic inspections.
Well, I mean,
so what are they doing?
Unless my understanding is different, which, you know, it could be. I don't know everything.
Everybody operates differently.
But the reason they don't want you to do it for the first 6 months is the biomat for the treatment field. You have to grow your biomat in that first 6 months of it being used. The biomat is the buildup that happens in the treatment fields. If you've ever seen effluent sitting on top of the ground, you get that black slick stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the biomat. So it wants a chance for that to grow and develop because that's also what helps to treat everything coming into the system. So if you're not, if you do it before the 6 months, then you're not getting a real accurate measurement of how that system is going to act once it has a built up biomat. So that's the reason that they're doing it that way. But the benefit that I can see of inspecting those young systems is just being sure all the components are installed right.
Well, making sure it's connected.
Right.
Like sure the story
connected.
I told.
Yeah. Make sure you got your T's in there. Make sure you got the right size tank.
Right.
All those good things.
Got it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense too. And there's no sludge in there yet. The toilet may have been flushed
a couple times
after the toilets were installed a few times and that's it. So that does make sense.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does. And yeah, if, you know, in new construction, you've got people coming and going all the time. And the plumber will come in and do part of their work, but then they got to wait for somebody else to do their job, then to come back.
Right.
And that's why I say I've had homes inspected, actually my own home, when it was when I built a new construction home, where the plumber forgot to come back and hook up the dishwasher, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just things like that I encourage new inspections on new construction because, as you said, they're new, not...
Right, and you know, sure, the builder's going to inspect it too.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're going to say. And, and they will, not to say they won't, but I'm going to look at a lot more stuff than they're going to look at.
Yes.
Right.
They're probably not going to walk the roof, let's say. They're probably not going to get to the back of the crawl space. I had an instance a couple months ago. The super was there the whole time I was there, you know, kind of watching me what I'm doing. It's like, oh, you're not going to find anything here. I've been through this house. So I get in the crawl space and I find 2 over notch joists because they're trying to route plumbing. Like, you know, you're allowed to notch a 6th of the depth of the board. There's a lot more than that. And I show them the pictures like, oh, I didn't go to that part of the crawl space. That's why.
And that is probably in 98% of our crawl spaces that the plumbers have notched out way too much.
Yeah, they need to take those guys' sawzalls away, I think.
They do.
They need better instruction.
They do.
Or what they have to do afterwards to sister that board.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not hard.
Just repair it.
But it's an extra step that some of them don't take. But
So, radon. Sorry, Angie.
Well,
go ahead.
We probably should take a break and get a word from our sponsors.
Let's take a break and get a word from our sponsors.
This sounds like a good place. So come back and see us. Great leadership isn't about a title. It's about influence, impact, and the ability to navigate change with confidence. Many leaders struggle to communicate their vision, inspire their teams, and make strategic decisions that drive results. Without the right tools, performance and progress can stall. That's where iChem help. I'm Angie Mullings. With decades of experience, I can deliver a dynamic keynote and conduct hands-on workshops that equip leaders to lead authentically and create lasting impact. Ready to invest in a more engaged and high-performing team? Reach out today to schedule a consultation.
And we're back.
We're back with Austin Zickmeyer, and we're talking about home inspections. So you're about to ask a question about radon.
Yeah. So radon is a test. It's a gas, odorless gas coming from the earth. And without going into big, in-depth instruction or explanation, do you ever do a radon test on a crawl space home versus a basement home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Basement homes are more prone to having high radon levels. It's true. But that doesn't mean a crawl space home won't have high radon levels. I've tested several in our area that have extremely high radon levels in very desirable areas of Springfield. So we're not talking like rundown places.
Sure.
I mean, a nice home, crawl space home, high radon levels.
Okay.
So it does happen. The remediation is different depending on if you crawl space versus basement, but it's the same concept.
Right.
But our area does have very high radon levels, very high. I listened to one of your guys' old podcasts. There was, I don't remember her name, she was a realtor out in Colorado now, and she was talking about how prevalent that is in Colorado, which the rockier your ground is, the higher chance you have for having radon, because it comes from the rocks, comes from the uranium in the rocks. The highest level that I've read over here, I've tested, is a 64. So four is high.
Yeah.
This was
a
64.
I think Laura's was like 56.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Because I was like, oh, I got her beat. But it was a basement home, not your typical porch slab floor. It was, pavers, brick pavers.
So
I think it was very porous, and I think that was it. It's high, you know, and it's around here. You know, we've got rocky ridges. So if your house is sitting on a rocky ridge, get that inspected. Mm-hmm. If it's on a slab, a really good place for a source for radon to get in your home is if you look under the tub, and if they've knocked out the ground, the concrete there to do the drain, that needs to be a radon test, because that's a great source for that radon to get in your house. Something that doesn't really happen so much in our areas, but in one radon class I took recently, talking about kind of like the southwest area where they run the ducts in the concrete slab, that's a great way to distribute radon through all throughout your house, because you get the little crack in the concrete, it gets into that duct, and then it just takes off with the HVAC system and goes into the whole house. Wow. That's a big thing for them out there.
That's very interesting.
Radon, you know, if you've ever smoked, it's going to have a really good effect of possibly giving you cancer. I forget the numbers, but it's really high. Mm-hmm. So if you ever smoked in your life, it's going to help with that.
Got it.
It's the second leading cause of cancer behind smoking only.
Yeah.
So just a lot of people there's a section of our population just doesn't take it seriously.
Right.
Yeah. Or doesn't think that it's a real thing.
Or just don't know.
You just don't know.
Just uneducated about it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever talked to a client, maybe one or two that know anything about radon.
Right. But then on the other side of the coin though, it can be fixed.
Yeah,
you know, because a house has high radon doesn't mean you shouldn't buy the house. It can be fixed.
Yes. Right. Rather simply.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a system that's put in to mitigate it.
Yeah.
So it's not like they've got to tear your house down and start over.
Yeah, and it's not terribly expensive compared to other things.
I
wouldn't call it cheap,
but
you know, there's a whole lot of more expensive fixes that you'd have to do sometimes.
Yeah, so, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
And all of these problems that we've talked about today, we've not went into crawl space problems, so we'll talk about that next quickly, briefly, because that could last all day. But all of this is fixable. You know,
everything's fixable.
Everything's fixable.
Man makes the house, man can fix
the
house.
Right.
You know,
that's
how it works.
Yes.
But sometimes there's an economic question to wherever it should be.
Yes,
but
very,
everything
very
can be taken care of.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah. And I think that something that we talked about earlier when you were explaining your process is that inspections can kill deals quicker than financing can, right? Because you either qualify or you don't.
Right.
But inspections can be really scary, and especially for maybe the new buyer and or somebody that just has not been exposed to a really good home inspector before. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be a scary process as long as you're professional, either your realtor involved or your home inspector you've called and hired is leading you through it properly and also explaining the results properly. So that is a question I have for you. Where is the line between advising and actually giving advice to repairs? You know, so we all give advice, right? Because it's part of our job. But to advise on an electrical issue, when does it go outside of your purview of expertise that you draw the line and refer it to a specialist and say, you know, I don't feel like this is a big deal, but to be sure, you need to call an electrician and get their opinion.
Yeah. Home inspectors are problem finders. We are not problem solvers.
Yes.
If it's something that I have personally dealt with in the past, I will give my experience to that client.
Sure.
Absolutely. Because I have that information, I will give it.
Sure.
I will also, I'll speculate sometimes, but I'll reinforce this is speculation. You need to have somebody who really knows what's going on look at this. But I will give them an idea of what I think remediation is going to be. Mm-hmm. So really the defining line is, do I know it? Mm-hmm. Am I aware? Have I dealt with this before? Mm-hmm. You know, my strong suit in my inspections, my strongest area is electrical work. Got to know a lot about, I've done a lot and I've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. My weak point, you know, I don't know if that foundation is going to continue to crack or not. I don't know if it's going to get worse.
Right.
You know, majority of the cracks that I call out, they turn out to be fine. They just need to be sealed up. Don't really need those piers installed to kind of shore things up. Some of them have. Mm-hmm. So really the defining line for me is just, what do I know? What do I feel comfortable saying?
I
don't know is an acceptable answer.
Right.
With all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to make up stuff. I'm not going to make them feel like I know something I don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, it's also in our contracts or service agreement. You know, the home inspector is not required to tell you how this happened or how to fix it. You know, we're just required to find it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If I have the data, I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to share my knowledge. And, mm-hmm. You know, because that's the big thing what home inspectors do, just share knowledge.
Right.
I think that's a good rule of thumb for all of us. We, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. Mm-hmm. So in our case, we're going to find out. We're going to ask the right person. Yeah. We're going to get the right expert. And I think that's a great rule of thumb just in, like I said, in general,
in
for
life,
business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk just a minute about the reports, because I tell my clients this report is going to be extensive.
Yes.
But I don't want you to scare that. So a lot of our job is setting expectations, right? Mm-hmm. We want to tell them up front that they're going to get a large report, but that doesn't mean that everything in their house is broken.
Right.
So we're trying to set that expectation up front.
Yep.
And then you're reinforcing that when they come to the end of the inspection and you're only pointing out like major things. But talk a little bit about what that report entails, why it's important to point out things that even aren't a major issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it is important to point out all things that you find are wrong, huge or not, because what's small to me is going to be could be big to that
sure.
to them. You know, I don't know them. I don't know their attitude and you know those kinds of things. So I need to point out everything. With my reporting though, I do have categories. So I've got a blue category, orange, and a red. Most serious in the red. You know, least serious in blue. So that does kind of help the client know what my opinion is on how serious different issues are. Mm-hmm. Tell me the question again. Sorry.
Basically, just. How do you report and what do people need to know about that report? Because you're pointing out than things that are just
so
critical.
The goal for home inspection is not no defects. What I tell his client, it's not no defects. It's defects that you want to deal with. Mm-hmm. That's the goal for a home inspection.
Yeah.
You're never going to find a house that doesn't have something wrong with it. Mm-hmm. As soon as it's built, it's degrading.
Sure.
That's just how it goes. And producing those reports to show them all the good and the bad together, you know, and understanding leads to confidence for them. So if I have a good picture that really shows the defect I find, like for instance, when I had a struggle getting this picture yesterday, I found a main sewer line in the crawl space that was sloped upwards. Mm. Well, you can say that in a paragraph, but if they can see it in a picture, it hits home much better.
Yes.
So you're getting the right angle when you're in the crawl space is sometimes challenging to do, but the better pictures you can do. And videos too.
Oh, agreed. Makes a huge difference.
A 30-second video can really get a point across way better than any paragraph that I could write inside of a report.
Agree.
You know, if you're doing this, you're videoing and you're putting your finger on that while you're going through, that's huge.
And probably, don't you feel like, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words?
Yes.
You really don't have to say that much, whereas... Mm-hmm. You and I have been in this long enough. We had reports, Austin. You're younger than us, too.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah.
We once upon a time had reports that had no pictures, had no videos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Carbon copies.
Yeah.
In 3 sheets.
And
you couldn't see the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, so really, once we progressed to getting pictures and videos and even color pictures, I mean, that's a big deal, you know, and it really does help so much understand.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
When I went through training, the old guys teaching me, the old home inspectors that were teaching us, they were talking about, oh, you know, we did this to ourselves. We started using pictures those decades ago, and now that's all we do. And they showed me their old forms that they used to use.
Yeah.
I would not have liked that as a home buyer at all.
No. I mean, because let's be honest, we do our best to get our clients there because we want them to meet you with you. Mm-hmm. We want you to explain mm-hmm. what the situation is. We don't want to be in charge of that
no.
right. because we don't know half the time, but we want them to meet with you. But there are times when they just can't. We have lots of out-of-state buyers mm-hmm. that never even look at the house first, or if they're here to look at it and then they go home and then yeah. the inspection mm-hmm. happens.
Yeah.
So the more photos, the more pointing at things, the yes. more videos, mm-hmm. all of that just helps yes. the consumer.
Yeah. Really does.
And I think it's also good to show the good stuff, the good things on the house too.
Yeah, you know, agree with that. Yeah.
Here's, I checked this and it worked yes. out great, and here's a video of me doing it. And mm-hmm. you know, I think, again, go back to confidence. Confidence to buy the house or confidence yes. to walk away from the house.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the two. But that's really what I think home inspectors provide is yeah. confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on that note, let's touch on it before we wrap it mm-hmm. up here on crawl spaces.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I always tell people roofs and crawl spaces are part of the scariest mm-hmm. parts mm-hmm. of your inspection because nobody goes up there
yep. mm-hmm.
unless there's a problem.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And many times you don't know there's a problem until you have a home inspection or a roof leak yep. or you hear water dripping somewhere and you know something's going on in your crawl space. Crawl space pictures can be very scary
yes.
for the person that doesn't look at them ever.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got these mildew mentions and these pictures of black boards.
Yeah.
So give us just an overview of how to feel about a crawl space that looks like it has problems.
Again, going back, everything can be corrected.
Yes.
It can be fixed. We live in Missouri. There's water issues under every house.
Yes.
We have tons of great service people in our area that know exactly how to take care of these.
We do.
At
you're right.
a mm-hmm. reasonable cost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I will always say crawl spaces are where the secrets are kept, you
yeah.
know, in a house. You know, I've had so many inspections where the house has been beautiful, go in the crawl space, and
yeah.
the whole tone of the day changes.
Yeah.
And, you know, people do work down there that don't necessarily know what they're doing. I've always said the two most destructive forces on a house are water and overconfident DIY homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Two most destructives.
Yeah.
So crawl space, you know, you're looking for moisture. You're looking for signs of moisture in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look, if you see a brown stain kind of even across the entire foundation wall,
mm-hmm.
it's been flooded in the past.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And if there's not a sump pump down there, why is there not a sump pump?
Yeah.
What was the reason that it flooded? Mm-hmm. Has that been corrected?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't always know those things. If the grading was improved 2 years ago, I may not be able to tell that there was dirt added there because the grass has grown up.
Yeah.
So I know it's not, and I don't necessarily know it's not going to flood again in the
True.
Future. But again, it can all be fixed. You know, sump pumps, vapor barriers. You can go the really strong route and, you know, do encapsulation
mm-hmm.
where you've got a dehumidifier down there. Obviously, that's the best, but it's not always cost-inducive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I always tell people, too, you know, you're not after 0% humidity in your crawl space. You're after below 60,
yep.
just where mold doesn't grow.
Right.
And also, just because there's growth, mold, fungus, whatever, doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
Right.
You know,
yes.
every crawl space has mold in it.
Has mold
every
in
single
it. Yes.
one has it in there.
Yep.
But is it the type that's going to maybe unhealthy? Well, you mm-hmm. don't know that until you test.
Right.
You know? And not all mold, or not all fungus is mold, and not all mold is, yeah, all but all mold is fungus.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Got it.
It's not all the same. And but people, well, is there black mold down there? I'm
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know. We didn't test. We
right.
don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing that you look at to know if there's going to be mold is moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Mold can't be there without moisture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you can control. You can't control the media that's down there that it can grow on. You can't control the air coming in that it can use to live. Only thing you can control is the moisture hitting mm-hmm. the crawl space. And you know, the mold remedial or the mold inspecting class I've taken, that's what they harp on. That moisture control is what
yep.
is how you control mold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So but with Missouri and our high water tables, yeah, you're going to get that, you
yeah.
know, you're, and that's one big concern, and that's why it should always be inspected.
Yeah,
get somebody
Absolutely.
To take care of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think before we wrap, we have to ask you what's the strangest thing that you've ever seen on a home inspection?
There is no short supply of strange things I get to see on a daily basis.
All right, top
the
five.
The hard part is telling stuff that's, one, safe for work, and then just remembering them all. One thing that was funny to me happened recently. I just finished the home inspection, was going over stuff with the homeowners, and I look over. At this point, she had let her goats back inside, and the goats are literally staying on the back of her couch. They're inside goats hanging out in this brand new house that they just moved into 2 months ago, hanging out on the furniture.
Wowza.
Yeah, I know. She loves her goats, and that is great. Another thing that I found that was really interesting, I looked in this closet, and this was like a 80s house in the middle of Springfield. They had 9 phone jacks inside the closet.
Why?
That's a great question. Why?
CIA?
I don't know. Like, are they, was there some kind of call center in this house in the 90s when they were? I don't know. You always just see, and sometimes you think, what are those people thinking? You know?
The
one I did yesterday, the plumbing vents didn't go out the roof. They just stopped in the attic at the vents. I was like, well, I guess it's not hurting anything,
right?
But it's not right.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of one of those gray areas. Like, I told the buyer about it. I'm like, well, you know, I think it should be corrected, but you could probably get away with it.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many things. There's just so many.
I bet you see something in every house.
And that's the best part of my job. When I wake up every day, I don't really know what I'm going to see.
You don't.
It's a good and a bad thing. Yeah, because sometimes that's a little stressful. But it's a good and a bad thing.
Yeah.
There's always something. Yeah. Watch my Facebook page.
I was going to say, you
watch
like
my Facebook page. Yeah. I put stuff on there.
Great idea. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you all for listening to this episode. And if you know someone who is getting ready to buy or sell a house, we encourage you to share this episode.
Yes, please. And we want to thank Gershman Mortgage for recording with us. And make sure you stay tuned for the top 10 things you never want to hear from your home inspector. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
See ya. Number 10. The inspector says, what did you want me to inspect here? The land, it's just vacant land. The agent says, no, there's a mobile home there. Inspector says, not anymore.
Ooh. Number 9, you said this was a vacant house, right? There is someone here having a pool party.
What? Number 8, I'm sorry, I can't inspect this attic. There are too many bats up there.
Number 7, you mentioned wanting a pond on the property. Did you know that the pond is actually a lagoon?
Number 6, the inspector says, I'm recommending a specialist report for the HVAC, the roof, the chimney, the foundation, the fungus in the crawl space, the septic, the well, and you probably need a termite inspector too.
I've had that house. Sold the house. Actually, I didn't end up selling it. Number 5, there's so much water in your crawl space, you could have an indoor swimming pool here.
Number 4, you bought this house as is?
Oh boy. Number 3, just so you know, that room in the basement that's painted black, that's not painted black, it's black mold.
You don't want to hear that, ever. No. Number 2, I found heroin in the attic. I'm calling the authorities.
Eek! And number 1, the inspector says, run very far away. And that is the top 10 things you don't want to hear your inspector say.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.